Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, Secrets to Overcome Fear, Embrace Your Gifts, and Achieve Success. This is the place where real people share real challenges, where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am Heather Hansen O'Neill. I am your host. Today's quote of the day is, we develop our character muscles by overcoming challenges and obstacles. That quote is by Stephen Covey. We have a wonderful guest for you today. Her name is Katie Horner. She's a popular Christian author, women's business coach, and international keynote speaker. After leaving all for a ministry opportunity overseas, only to have it pulled out from under them, Tap and Katie Horner built a business and a movement in their second language among the fastest growing market demographic in the world. Katie has created the only literature-based homeschool curriculum that exists in the Spanish language, the first in history online summit for Spanish-speaking home educators, 24 online courses, over 50 self-published books. I mean, she has so much that she has done. I can't wait to have her share her story with you. You can read more about Katie on our show notes and get some links there. Welcome, Katie Horner. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and I can't wait to hear more about all that you have done. Why don't you start by just giving our audience a little bit of backstory? Tell us where you come from.
So I grew up in the mountains of Western North Carolina, far from any ocean, 2 hours from a mall in any direction. my family was really involved with overseas missions, and so I was introduced to people and things around the world at a very early age from the things that my parents supported. And from ninth grade on, I had a real desire to be overseas and working in some capacity of ministry. And so once I finished college and married my husband, we paid off school debt for a couple of years, and then we raised our own support, sort of as a charity does, in order to come to Mexico as missionaries. And so we've been in Mexico now about 13 years, and yeah. Ministry, like you mentioned, sort of got pulled out from under us early into those years. And the Lord allowed us to create a business that now has expanded our ministry and helps us serve both Spanish-speaking and English-speaking people around the world.
You know, I can't wait to hear your story, because I believe that those times in people's lives where something gets pulled out from under them, this opportunity they were looking forward to just falls apart, that we may immediately think, oh, this is just the worst thing ever. What are we going to do now? That ends up leading to the thing that we were supposed to do. So I am very excited to hear about it. So why are you so passionate about helping others? And, you know, tell us a little bit more about how you do it. I know you've got your 4-Year Success podcast. I think we need more information on how you serve in your business.
Sure. So our business is called Handprint Legacy. And mm-hmm. under Handprint Legacy, we have basically the two different language sides. And in Spanish, we have created a company that serves homeschoolers who are not English speakers or who are bilingual English-Spanish speakers. And so what we realized was, as this homeschool movement in Mexico and other Spanish-speaking countries around the world was growing, there was a lack of resources for those people. And my college degree and my master's degree is in education and curriculum development. And so we saw a need that we could fill. At the same time, we had been moved out of our ministry capacities for the most part, and we're looking for a way to earn income on our own. And so we created this company that now has a curriculum that serves preschool through sixth grade. All the subject materials can be purchased from us, and they're all in Spanish, and the teacher's guides are in Spanish. And it's a method that we're the only ones offering this particular instructional method in the Spanish language. And we now have conferences online. We're the first ones to take training online for Spanish speaking homeschool parents. This year will be our third annual conference, and last year we had over 5,000 families attending that event online from all around the world.
Oh, that is fantastic. I mean, I love when people start to think about what need is out there and how can I fill it, right? Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. So you're passionate about this and you started the business because you saw the need, right? Is there, when you started working with them, did you combine your ministry with the curriculum or are they two completely separate things?
Well, we originally came to Mexico to work in a support role at a Bible college on the western side of Mexico. And we were there about 3 years, and then we really felt like the Lord was moving us on to something else. And we received a call from a missionary in the state of Campeche, Mexico, to come and sort of take over an orphanage ministry. She was a widow who'd been there. They'd built this orphanage ministry over the last 40 years, and her husband had died. And she was looking for someone to take over into the future of this little children's home, and they served about 30 kids at a time. And so we really felt like the Lord was moving us, but there was a lot of stuff to get around in leaving that first ministry. They didn't approve of us leaving. They didn't know anything about the new ministry, and it really ended very, very badly. Some public slander, some immediate isolation when we weren't going to follow what they wanted us to do. And yet we knew that this is what God was moving us to. This was our next step. And so in spite of all that happened there, we did move our family to the other side of Mexico to come and work at this children's home. And then 9 months into that, when I say it was pulled out from under us, 9 months into being there and trying to figure out how things run and what our place was going to be here, the same lady who had called us to come and take this position came to us and said, this is not working. My national staff are not in agreement with my having brought you on, and you have to go. And we're like, go where? You know, like she essentially had brought us on knowing her staff was not in agreement and just sort of hoping everyone would fall in love and live happily ever after.
I've seen that so many times.
Right. So when that didn't happen, then we were obviously the ones who needed to go. And yet we realized that it wasn't a person who had moved us here. It wasn't a person necessarily who had brought us through all that we'd gotten to that point. And so we started asking the questions like, Lord, what's now? What's next? What is it that you want us to see in the midst of this trial? And I think that's an important question for anyone who's moving through a hard time, is to stop and say, what's really going on here? What is it that I'm not seeing? Show me what I need to see so that I can take that next step. And all we need to know is the next step, right?
Right.
And so we helped in several other local ministries temporarily as we were trying to figure out what to do, but we had just lost, we'd just been moved out of two ministry situations that were not an ideal leaving in less than a year. And a lot of that support and charitable donations that we'd received in order to come and do this work had also been ripped away from us in the process. And so here we were in Mexico with, at the time, four small children. We have five children now, but at the time we had four small children and no income and no savings and no credit cards. We didn't even have enough to move ourselves back to the States if we'd wanted to. And at that point, we didn't want to. We'd worked all our lives to be where we were in Mexico, and we loved Mexico. We already had developed a love for her and for her people. And so we started looking around and saying, what are we supposed to be seeing here? Where's the need that we can fill? And so we realized this need for the homeschool curriculum and said, hey, we could do that. And we could see how that could be a way that we could both earn money for ourselves and support our family, but also make a huge difference in the world that was not being filled yet. And so that's how the company came about.
You know what I love about this is you asked the right questions. I think that when we are in this state of challenge, we ask the wrong questions. Why me? You know, how could this have happened to me? Instead of doing what you did and shifting the questions to, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? Please help me understand understand and what is the need and how can I fill it with my expertise. And you're asking questions that lead to solutions and answers as opposed to staying stuck in that state of challenge, an obstacle. And I think that that is a huge lesson for our listeners, is just to ask the right questions and to shift it. It shifts your energy. It shifts your outcomes. So I absolutely love that. Is there anything else that you did specifically that helped you overcome these obstacles of, I can only imagine, you didn't have any funding. You know, you didn't have a business set up. People had ruined your reputation. Like, there were so many things that were stacked against you, right?
Absolutely.
What did you do to, A, help your mindset through this? And is there anything else that you specifically did that you might recommend others do when they're in the midst of obstacles?
I think it's important to look, like you said, ask the right questions and look at it. Instead of looking inward so much, a lot of times we do turn inward. Why me? Why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. And that's the wrong focus. That's a stifling focus. And so having, I'm not sure what it was necessarily that forced us to be looking for what could we do? Who can we help necessarily? But having that outward focus of this is, there's got to be something more going on here. And I think even today in the worldwide crisis that we're in, economy-wise and different things, that's the questions we still need to be asking. We still need to be looking outward and saying, how do I help my people? Who are my people, first of all? And then what have I got that can help them? How can I make their lives better in this time? Because that's what really makes the difference, is when you can change somebody else's outlook or outcome, then that builds you just as a natural byproduct. And so that's what we started doing. We literally had just $5 left in the bank at one point to be able to do this. And we said, well, you know, we've had a ministry website for 3 years. We know how to do that. Let's put a website up. And we were one of the first people to have an online store for our curriculum and an online customer service and in Spanish for homeschool curriculum. And so that has served us well over time, you know. And I remember one day when we were first getting started, and we'd seen some income start to come in, and my husband and I were talking. I can remember where we were in the kitchen even. and I remember looking at him and saying, when we start earning enough to be really making a difference in our living, I want to be able to take what we've learned how to do. Because we had to start from nothing. I did not have a business background. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to take what we've learned and teach other women how to make a difference and how to make an income for themselves as well. And like, don't get me wrong, it wasn't just a whole, like, this wasn't some holy campaign from the beginning. Like, we really had a need for money. That was right. As much of why we started as to make a difference. But the further you get into this and the more that you see that it is making money and it is making a difference, your focus shifts. And then you begin to see what's possible with the income you're making. And so about 4 years into this, we were at the point where we had we were making a regular income. And so then we started adding in the English side of the business, mm-hmm. which is training other English speaking women. And now we're beginning to think about opening up that to men as well, to be able to build their businesses and their impact online. And when I talk about impact, I'm thinking legacy impact. I'm thinking, how is this going to affect not just the people I serve today, but future generations? Like, what ripples can we create? How can we leave that handprint on the wall for future generations to be changed? And so whether it's writing a book or whether it's creating a course or something, I'm thinking long term. Like, I don't want this to just be, you know, a bestseller for a few weeks. I want this to be a resource. It's going to be able to change lives, even if somebody reads it after I'm gone.
I love that shift in focus, because I think that we tend to run so instant gratification. So how can I make this happen right now? Actually, yesterday. And, and that focus on the legacy aspect of it. And it's kind of, it becomes bigger than you. Right. And that's where the why comes from. That's where the purpose comes from. And that's why it is successful, right? So you were able to evolve from your homeschooling, the Spanish speaking homeschooling business, into coaching these English speaking women in business and speaking on stages. And now you're currently doing both.
Right. We are currently working both sides of that business.
Awesome. And I think that's important too, is that you don't have to let go of one in order to add on other things that you decide you need to do in the world. So what do you think is the biggest thing that you see that holds women back in starting these businesses or in, you know, living their purpose? What do you think holds them back?
I talk a lot with my people about overcoming the I can't choir or the you can't choir. It seems to be a repeating theme in my life and in the lives of those I serve, that we come up against something and either we don't have enough information and so we assume we can't, or we've got people and voices outside coming at us telling us we can't for X reason. Mm-hmm. And in my life, over and over and over, we've come up against that you can't choir. You know, you can't spend your summers in Mexico when you're trying to earn your own way through college. And I did. You can't have a double minor and, mm-hmm. and an education major. And I did. And I only finished a semester late. You know, you can't go to Mexico on 50% support. And we did. And you can't start a business while you're on a mission field. And we did, you know, all these things. And I think it comes down to, you know, how do you get started? How do you get going? Is overcoming those I can'ts and realizing that if the Lord has put this in you, or if you know this is your purpose, this is what you have been created for, which I talk about in my book, Faith Like Flamingos, that purpose, that thing that is your job to do in the world, you can't be listening to anybody else. Mm-hmm. You have got to be so convinced that this is for you to do. This is the impact you will make. This is the legacy you will leave, that you're willing to stop up your ears and not listen to all of those inside and outside voices saying you can't do this.
Oh, and I just love this. Keep going, because this is something, this is a theme. I see it in so many of my clients. So go ahead. You were going to say something else about it.
Right. So we come up against comparison. Right? Somebody mm-hmm. else is doing this. Why do they need me? Well, the fact is not everyone's going to listen to them. Somebody needs your voice. That's why you're still here. Or there's so many people doing this, there's no room for me. Well, that's not true either. Somebody mm-hmm. needs you. You will reach some that they will never reach because your audience will never overlap 100%. Right? So and so does it better. Who cares? You were created the way you were created to reach the people you were designed to reach. And if you don't reach them, then they're not going to have what they need to do the job they were created to do. Mm-hmm. And so I get really passionate about this, because whether it means homeschooling your children so that they have a better education as the future leaders of the next generation, or whether it means building a business and getting the message out, getting your genius out to those that you were meant to teach so they can have that impact on both sides of the business, both languages, we are really training people to impact the next generation. This is not about you. You may start your business like I did because you need money, but there's also that impact aspect, that when you realize what is possible because of the income, when the income becomes a tool instead of a necessity, it allows you to create an impact that is bigger than you. And business is not about you. You've got to be asking the questions, what do my people need? How can I help them be successful? And the true test of success is not any dollar amount. It's the fact that the people you teach can go on to surpass you in passing that genius on to the people they're teaching.
Oh my gosh, I can't tell you how in love with this concept I am. I run into people all the time who, you know, have these money blocks. I help people with limiting beliefs, right? And overcoming these inner fears. And it is such a big one. And I guess I recognize it because I had it. I had to overcome it, right? And so You said that phrase that I absolutely love, when money becomes a tool instead of a necessity, then you can recognize like the purpose or the difference that you're going to make on the world. And I just love that so much. I want to ask you for some specific steps that listeners can take. So put your thinking cap on that one. But before I do, I would love, if you're okay with this, to just delve a little bit into the emotions for yourself as you were going through all of these different things, being released from the ministry or starting the fear of starting a business or how to expand the business. What were the main key things for you that you needed to shift that you felt were your deepest lessons?
One of the biggest things that has brought me through to where we are today is obviously my faith.
Yes.
But in that, thinking on truth, and this applies to anyone, regardless of your faith or your political standing or any of the rest of it, what you believe affects how you think and what you do. And so if you can stop yourself in the midst of the I can't attack, you can stop yourself in the midst of your emotions running away with you and ask yourself the question, what is the truth of this situation? Because emotions were created to help us live life, but not to tell us what life to live. Okay. And that's something my cousin told me when I was in my 20s. Emotions are there to help you live life, but not to tell you what life to live. And so we've got to detach ourselves from the emotions of the moment. Detach yourself from the comparisons and the judgments of others and ask yourself, what is the truth? What are the facts? And then based on that, what is my next step? Somebody else who is very wise told us in the midst of one of these crises, he said, you've got to just get up every morning and take the next right step. And that's why I say you don't need to know all the steps. You don't need to see the end because who knows where this is going? All you need right now to focus on is that next right step. And so I think forcing myself to come back to that truth every time. What are the facts of the situation? And then based on that, what is my action? What's my next step supposed to be? Because when I'm fearful, I'm frozen and I either don't do anything or I do exactly what I'm told to do by those who are judging and I can'ting, right? And so when you choose action, then you take control of what you can control. There's lots of stuff in life I can't control, but learning that I could control how I responded, not how I reacted, but how I responded to the truth of the opportunity, then I was able to take that next right step. And once I took that step, then I could evaluate and say, now what's the truth of this situation and what's the next step from here? And I think that more than anything else will help you work through a crisis, will help you work through fears. Just focusing on that truth. And then once you take the action, then I think you will find that the emotions support the action and things get a little bit easier.
I love this. This is such good stuff here. So important. And, so in alignment with what I speak about on a regular basis. So if, let's say, I know you said you might be expanding to men in business soon, but right now your focus is on women in business. Are there some specific steps that a woman who's looking to take her message out in the world should think about?
Well, first off is just take action. So whatever that easiest action is, there's lots of ways you can get your message out without spending a lot of money. Like we literally started from our last $5 in the bank that first month, right? So I mean, Facebook is free, Instagram is free, Twitter is free, Pinterest is free. Start there. If that's all you've got, start getting your message out. Learn how to use hashtags so people can find you, and start sharing. One of the things I wish that I had learned earlier was marketing, because what it, you know, pe if you build it, they will come is one of the biggest lies in business. You've got to know how to market it to them, And so having a great product is wonderful, but if you don't know how to market it and get that message out there, having a great message is wonderful. But again, it's the marketing. Anywhere, whatever you're doing, whether it's for profit or not for profit, that message has to be marketed. And so jump in and learn how to market, learn how to speak the language of your people, learn how to listen for what they're asking, and then meet that need. What do they need? How can I help them get to the solution that they're seeking? And you can do that starting now for free with just your basic social media that you're already probably using on a daily basis, with just being intentional with getting that message out and showing how you can help them.
That's fantastic. Great. I love the action aspect of it. I'm an action-oriented person, and that next step helps to release that that feeling of constriction that fear can create, or overwhelm, where you're not doing anything because you're thinking about the 22 steps that you have to take. But breaking it down to just the next one makes it possible, and then it creates the momentum. So I would love for you to share how people can get a hold of you, Katie. I know that they're going to be interested in learning more or finding out some resources from you. And I know you have a pretty cool offer for our listeners too. So can you share some information about you?
Sure. We've set up a special link just for your guests, Heather, and they can go over to katiehorner.com/fear-to-fire. And we're going to have a couple of special offers there and links to anything that we have mentioned in the show today. One of the things that we would love to offer is, of course, my new book called Faith Like Flamingos, The Christian Business Guide to Walking Out Your Faith in Bold Color. And a lot of what we've talked about here in the last few minutes is covered in more depth in there, in terms of not listening to the I can'ts and taking action on your purpose and being bold to say, this is me, this is what I was created to do. And not being ashamed of that, just as a flamingo is not ashamed that he's pink out in the middle of that expanse of blue and green. Okay. So
it's a fun read.
We take our lessons from the flamingo and then apply them to the person in business and how practically you can walk out those aspects of being bold and fulfilling your purpose in business. So that book is there. And when you purchase the book, either Kindle or print, there is an offer inside for the free audiobook. So you're getting two for one there. And then one of our premium courses that we've created is called Successful Online Courses. And obviously my history and curriculum development through the Spanish homeschool thing and the other courses we've created to train the people that we serve online, I know a thing or two about developing curriculum and courses. And so this premium online courses program is a 9-week program that takes you through creating a quality curriculum that is going to be a legacy quality that could outlive you and continue to impact people and train people in the genius that you teach, even if you were not able to do it in the future. And so it's a 9-week program to help you create your course around whatever it is that your message or your genius, your skill, your ability is that you're trying to teach to other people in a way that moves them in a confident progression through the course to get that transformation that they're seeking. And that we're giving you guys a coupon code for $400 off of that course. I know a lot of people are thinking about how can I create extra income right now? The economy is unstable. What can I do? Maybe people who've lost jobs are looking to go online or start a business. This is a great way to get into that and be able to package what you offer in a way that will get results for your people. And so we want to make that available to your people.
Yeah, that is amazing. And definitely we will also include those links in our show notes, everyone. So no worries about writing it down right now. You could just go to the show notes and click right on it, and we'll send you over to Katie's site. So this has been outstanding. I know you've given us a lot of great information already, but do you have any final parting words of wisdom or tips for our listeners today, Katie?
If I could just say one more thing about the aspect of action taking, because I know not all of your listeners may be action takers. It's important for you to think on the truth and to figure out what that next right step is. But if you have trouble being an action taker and maybe you're frozen not knowing what the right one is, the next thing I would say that's most important to add to that mix is community. And when you surround yourself with a community, they become your cheerleaders. They become the people who believe in you when you can't believe in yourself. They become the ones that you can go to ask for help and say, what should I do next? These are the options. What do I do? Right. Your helpers, your advisors. None of us can do this by ourselves. isolation is the enemy of excellence. And that's from Aaron Walker from View from the Top. He says that all the time. You've got to surround yourself with quality people in order to do quality work. And so whether you are self-motivated and an action taker, you know, you still need cheerleaders. And if you're someone who struggles with taking action or getting overwhelmed with all the things to do, you need people who can support you. And so find a community somewhere that can help you do that. And that is the next steps to success.
Excellent. What fantastic advice. Katie Horner, thank you so very much. I appreciate you. And I'm sure our listeners are furiously writing down some ideas to get them to take some actions and to follow through. And those of you out there who are doing that, don't worry. You could just listen again. You could share it with a friend, start to create that community, and feel free to subscribe and leave us a review. We appreciate you as well. Thanks again, Katie.
It was a pleasure.